Hi there folks, welcome to the Test Drive Radio, the one-stop podcast channel for all the software testing enthusiasts out there. We are thrilled to bring you the latest insights and knowledge about the ever-evolving world of testing and leadership. A huge shout out to BrowserStack for being our annual sponsor for small events and premier sponsor for conferences. So join our tribe of passionate individuals who share the same love for testing and leadership. Without further ado, let's dive straight into the latest trends and best practices in the testing world.
While you were talking about these common challenges, a lot of them seem like a communication gap or, something like that only. So while it is dependent on some other person or some other department, how do you think you can overcome this and still be actively part of that, the whole requirement or exploration part?
Okay. See, one thing is that customer education is very important. Now, when I talk about customer, I am talking from the perspective that the product owner or the team who is managing, they are also your internal customers of your testing. I'm not talking about the end customer. So educating your customer is very important, because unless they know the importance of the value that you can add, unless you show them, then they would probably, not even have an idea that why we should add a tester right at the start. You would have to also show that what are the cost of missing assumptions. That there are some assumptions and like how that would cost exponentially in the long run. Third thing is you would have to get yourself invited to key meetings and make change or show change, 10% at a time. So now this is where the other soft skills of a tester becomes very useful. For example, persuasion, communication, written communication, modeling, and I'm talking about product modeling. And if you can do that, it becomes very easy to showcase and deliver your value. Now, I want to share a personal experience, so masking all the details out, but I had been in projects where testers were not involved in such discussions. Till today, when the team wants testers to be involved in the initial kickoff meetings, the discussions, and even the planning, and they want to hear the testers' view, opinion on that, because they know that this matters. And so it's also a part of, how you persuade the team, and help them understand these core concepts. Because a lot of time, people might just be optimizing that, okay, let's leave testing out right now and we will save time. But this is a double-edged sword, and then you have to educate people about this. So it's a lot of education.
Understood. Got it. So I think a lot of it also comes to the part where if you actively want to be involved in something and you ask for it, there's a high chance that people will give it to you. So, a lot of times we just, get into that hole that, okay, this is the document that we have given. We have to do it according to this. And we don't, actively participate. So probably if you ask more questions, you will get those answers and be better at your testing. Absolutely.
And don't bombard people with questions. That's a tip. So when I learned about context-free questions and such questioning tools, I used to ask a lot of them. But sometimes it's also important to understand that maybe the customer also don't know all the answers at this moment. Yeah. So use a 10% rule. And 10% is a very safety net rule that I use, which is I only ask them stuff 10% at a time. So I don't overwhelm them with all of my questions at that moment itself, which gives them even a safe space. And now this is the social process of testing, right? Because if you ask them too many questions, testing becomes hard, because then they say, this guy is asking us questions, we don't know the answer, let's leave him out of this process. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you have to understand their challenges also. So it's a very social process.
Got it. Understood. So what I've understood till now is that to get the requirements properly, to understand the requirements of the project properly, you need to talk to a lot of people, and obviously you need to get information from a lot of people, because a lot of people are involved in that product, right? But then how do you ensure that all these requirements that you're getting or the understanding that you're getting, they are complete and accurate?
Good question. Now, this is where the art of projection becomes very important. The ability to project your understanding is very important. So how I do it, I'll explain you. I create mind maps of the entire product. I do a survey testing. I map out all the product. I map out all the structure, function, interfaces, platform, operations, data, timing related stuff associated with the project. I showcase them back. I ask them, for example, I ask them questions about quality criteria. What are the quality criteria that matter? And then I list down certain things, checklists, and I tell them that this is what I think matters for us. Can you review that? Then demo meeting, review meetings, making a model, generating test out of it and sharing it with them, getting their feedback on that. Next is project reviews. So overall review meetings where you share your understanding, important. Next is drawing out stuff. So one thing that I have learned from James Bach is that if you can visually draw out things from your understanding, then sometimes it becomes very easy for the customer to understand that what's going on. So I mean, visual intelligence, drawing the thing visually and showcasing to somebody, explaining to somebody, it's kind of a debriefing. And if you debrief, they will tell you these are the missing gaps. And these are just the ways to reduce the odds of success. But I mean, there is no short way that I can give you that Vanshika, do this and you will be 100% successful. So it's a balance of things. Yeah.
Understood. We have a question from the audience. It's from Aditya. What should we do if we found many bugs in an implementation? Either we should directly tell the developer about these or inform it in daily scrums to get the exposure.
Okay, good question. Very good question. I'm also doing a course with the tribe on this bug advocacy part where I cover this in depth. So it's on the lines of overwhelm developers with lot of bugs or not. See, two things. First, suppose you find that there is a build issue which is causing a lot of bugs. Then it's not useful to list down each and every bug, but it's instead helpful that you go and talk to the developer that this is a build issue which is causing 10 issues. So if you have to identify the root cause and tell them. Second thing is, suppose it's not a build issue, these are valid issues. Then you have to classify the issues. So there are UI issues, there are functionality, UX, usability, and XYZ all. What I do is I try to club issues. I try to do investigation and I try to club similar issues together so that the developer doesn't have to waste a lot of time in looking into 100 bug reports versus maybe we could simplify it in 20 bug reports and make it easier for them to understand. And then sometimes if the build is totally very bad, it's a very bad quality, what you can do is you can invite them to a meeting. You can list down your exploratory testing findings. Now this is where note taking and all that comes into picture, because then you have to showcase it to them and tell them that these are basic issues going on, and there is always a trade-off. Me investing this much time to find all the basic issues versus you doing it one round of testing for yourself, because there are trade-offs. So if they say no, we cannot do it, then you have to highlight the risks of this trade-off, that if you do this, this is the amount of time you are going to take to find all these basic issues, to report all these basic issues, and then to retest this. So you have to highlight trade-offs, and it's kind of a balanced, a very contextual answer. Suppose it's a build error, talk to them. Some kind of issues you even talk to people in in stand-ups or mention them in passing. Sometimes certain issues are important but not important for this release. So in that case, you have to ask what are the quality criteria that we have to focus in this release. Suppose out of 50 40 bucks are not important for this release. So what you have to do, you have to focus on the 10 and the rest remaining 40 maybe assign, put them in the system later on, assign them to next release. So yeah, that's how I see this answer, but good question, very good question.
Understand, sir. That makes a lot of sense also. We are at our last question for today from our side. So would love for the people listening to us to ask their questions, if they have any questions in the topics that have been covered till now, or if they have any other questions, do drop them in the chat and we will take this after this one last question.
Yep.
So my next question is that I understood how can exploring requirements help in better products, and while you were answering one question, you also said that we can't be 100% sure, right, of if the requirements that we have understood are correct or not.
Are
fully correct. So, how can exploring requirements help in managing the project risks?
Good. See, risk is the probability of something bad happening. Now, in any project, I mean, even the core purpose of testing is to help your stakeholders know about risks so that they can take a well-informed decision. Now, the later they know about risks, it's more problematic. For example, I'll give you an example. Suppose when you come to me, suppose I'm a doctor, you have a problem, you come to me, and I give you a medicine, but I don't tell you about its risks. And later on, when you have side effects, you have complications, then I say, okay, there was a risk that I was aware of, but then we didn't discuss it at the initial stage, but let me hot fix it. Now, you would say this is totally unprofessional. Because if there is a risk, it's better you identify it at the earliest. And early stage risks can be found in the requirement itself. If you see ambiguity in certain part of requirement, it's a risk. If you see a requirement is too complex or the specifics are not mentioned, it's a risk. If you notice that there is a very high precision requirement, it's again a risk. If you notice a requirement change in an area where a lot of people are used to a specific feature of a product and you want to change it, it's a direct risk. So, I mean, there are ways to identify risks from requirement and highlight them. And I mean, how you do that is by exploring requirements, and that makes it very easy. I'm writing a blog post on this where I'll be covering. So that would be coming out next week. You can follow me or follow the test drive, and where we'll talk about all these ways. So yeah, that's a good question. Thank you.
Got it. Understood. If you have any questions, go to the Test Drive Discord. Rahul is there. He keeps answering questions of people. So just ask him there and he will definitely answer you.
Absolutely. I mean, thank you to everybody who joined in, and a lot of familiar people, a lot of new people. And it's good to know a lot of new people. And I mean, even after this IG Live, if you have questions, ask me on the Test Drive Discord or on LinkedIn, social media, whatever you feel comfortable, maybe Instagram also, and we'll have a discussion. So thank you for joining in.
Thanks for tuning into today's episode. I hope you enjoyed and gained some valuable insights. Don't forget to rate us and join our community on Discord for more amazing content. Link in the description. So till next time, keep testing with passion and leading with purpose. This is us signing off.